But I also don't want to stay inside of my house for.
Yeah, I can't do that anymore. So, because look, I don't want to say what happened, but it got weird in here.
Uh huh. What happened?
Right here got weird. I'm not gonna say what happened. I want to have a future. What? And nothing happened. I'm fine. Okay. Guys, today we have a special guest, and there's no special guest, but it's just me, and I'm going to be talking today, and we're going to be talking today. I don't know why I said me. We're going to be talking today about the one, the only, Ho Chi Minh, guys. Ho Chi Minh. Give it up for him. Clap it up for Ho Chi Minh. Here's the thing.
Ho Chi Minh.
If you're I don't know, how old are them niggas now? 70, 80 years old, and you fought in Vietnam, this episode is going to give you flashbacks, so don't watch
hold
this.
Up. If you're, if you're 70 to 80 years old and listening to a podcast, I applaud you for getting with the times. Yo, all right? I'm impressed.
He got that. She got that Mac, and she was just on it. And she figured it out.
Yep. Way to go. You know, welcome.
Okay, but like, no, seriously, there's going to be a lot of names and a lot of things that are going to be a lot for somebody who might have fought in Vietnam.
Yep, it was an awful time for everybody.
An awful time. Yeah, it was an awful time. Look, I...
And away we go.
Okay, I don't want to start it like that. I'm not trying to start it like that. You got it. Okay. I think, all right, we're going to start like this. Do you know what the word Vietnam means, Henry?
I don't.
Okay. Vietnam. I told you earlier, so you should know.
You
forgot already?
I remember. Yeah.
Okay. Vietnam actually is two words, and it comes from the Chinese language. Is Viet is the people to the south, or the people to the south of Yunnan province, or foreigners who live in Yunnan province, which is the like one of the most southern Chinese provinces. Yeah. And Annam means, it's like the Chinese for like the pacified south. So Vietnam is the foreigners to the south of foreigners or the people to the south
who are pacified.
Yeah, who are pacified, who we have taken over.
The subjugated people, the people to the south who ain't shit, right?
Yeah, the people we have taken over to the south. Their name has a legacy and a built-in history of rebellion and struggle.
Yep.
Why would we invade that country? Why don't we just invade?
Because everyone else did it, man. I don't know.
Here's the thing. So you understand Vietnam? Vietnam is the country of Southeast Asia, part of Indochina, as the French would call it. It suffered a long history of colonialism, of being taken over by outsiders. In the 3rd century BC, the Chinese came, and then they fought the Chinese until 1428 AD.
Jesus. that is commitment.
And you think you're going to come here in 10 years
and overthrow and this entire system? This stretches back millennia.
Yeah.
Right?
1700
millennia
years.
Millennia of resistance.
1700 years.
It's
yeah,
in their
yeah.
blood is fighting yeah. off a foreign aggressor.
You know what I mean? So the Chinese occupation brought like it molded a lot of the things that you see in Vietnam, and particularly it brought like the Confucius learning template and like kind of the Confucius like organization and the way that they lived, you know. Then the French came, and the French showed up. I think it was 1858. They showed up in the 1850s, and then through the Sino-French War of 1884 to 1885, they took over Vietnam, and then they fought like the Siamese, and then they got like Cambodia and Laos.
Killed
and
all of them, right? Killed all the
Siamese.
Wiped
you talking
them
about
out.
The twins? You talking about the?
I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know. I just think they killed all of them.
No, the Siamese are the Thai.
Oh.
Siam is like Bangkok.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure about that.
I was thinking they had to like rebrand as Thai.
No, I think something happened where they had to rebrand. They were like Siam, like
Yeah, like, that sounds recent, familiar.
Like in the 20s.
Like Thai is an imposition, a foreign imposition. We're seeing. Okay, that makes sense.
So Vietnam is made up of three parts. There's going to be Cochin China, which is the south. That's like Saigon, Mekong Delta. Where your granddad won't stop telling you about using that water boat, that Navy boat, fucking in the Mekong Delta.
Dropping LSD. Dropping LSD. Just like, fucking
getting strapped up, ready to go.
Yep. Yep.
Then there's Tonkin, which is like northern Vietnam, the part that's the closest to China. And then in the middle of that whole stretch is Annam. And our hero today, Ho Chi Minh. Uh-huh. Hero, some people, I got the lowdown from a Vietnamese person from Sun Tran. I just say Sun Tran.
Okay, cool. Right on.
And he was like, this is how Vietnamese people feel about Ho Chi Minh. He was like, some people think he's a patriot, like a hero.
Yeah.
Some people think he's a villain. You have people who will like never forget on both sides. But the vast majority of Vietnamese people want to just make money and don't care about this shit anymore.
Okay, fair enough, man. Fair enough.
You know what I mean?
They're more like us than we know.
His parents fled Vietnam after the war and like moved to Canada, which is wild. Moved to like Calgary, I'm pretty sure, which is a wild place. Which is a wild place for Vietnamese people to be because it's very cold. But they like go back like 6 months out of the year. Like now
to Vietnam, just to hang
out,
like
chill, it's home, like
yeah, man.
People have gotten over the things that were about to. Not some of them. Some of them have. Some of them have.
Some people are still very upset about all these things. Yep.
So, Ho Chi Minh was born as Nguyen Sinh Cung, and on May 19th of 1890, and this is gonna be a point of contention. Some people say 1890. He said 1891. Sometimes he said 1892. Sometimes he said 1893. He said 1894 and 1895. We don't really know where he's born. A lot of people accept 1890.
Five years. Yeah, 5 years. All right, fellas.
I think it plays an important difference a little bit later, just because it makes him seem like a little bit more of a fucking revolutionary. Okay. You know what I mean?
A little older, a little wiser,
little younger, a little wiser, a little always about this shit.
Okay. So
he's from Jian province, the village of Kim Lien, in Annam, in the Annam portion.
That's the middle part of modern Vietnam. Okay.
Yeah, it's the middle part of modern Vietnam. Here's the thing. I'm not going to pronounce these words right. I'm going to try.
Hey, man, we've established a precedent with this whole scene. I'm just like, we're doing our best.
Jian, that the province that he's born in, is like known as like this is like the middle of French resistance. Okay. Like this is the heartland of French
born
resistance.
In it, the epicenter.
So he's born into it. Okay. You know what I mean? So and like the hill that overlooked like the village of Kim Lien is like there's a temple at the top to like generals who like for like two generals who had fought like the French. I think fought the French early on, and that's where, like, where the rebels would like they would organize up there. So it's just a whole vibe. It's a beautiful village, but fucking they're with the shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he was born to his father. Nguyen Sinh Sac is like a Confucian scholar, and teacher. And he would later become like a magistrate and a governor. He was like known for like, you know, like being kind to the poor. Like he even like one
okay,
time.
Okay, but
like,
who's saying that though?
Him. He's the people in the village. They tried to give him a banquet one time for like he basically passed his masters. And they were like, yo, we're going to give you a banquet because we get to like put up a sign that says, yo, you're from here, went to exact, da da da, dope, it's real cool. And he was like, no, give the money to the poor.
We're not about, okay, that's pretty bitching. Good guy. He's a good guy.
You know what I mean? But when he passed his next test, they just threw it anyway. They were like, fuck that, dog. Like,
we need something to celebrate. We just want to party. Our lives are shit, so we're going to celebrate vicariously through you, right?
I've been shit on by water buffalo for the past month, every day. It's water shitting.
Came
I don't
home.
Know how the water buffalo is water
goddamn
shitting.
Goddamn water buffalo came through and just wiped out all my rice patties.
You know what I mean?
Now I've got nothing to eat. You know,
yeah. Other, if when you're thinking, if you don't If you don't know what Vietnam looks like, if you're
that,
not an
that
American,
might sound
all,
insensitive. If,
no, but it's
what
just
I just said about the water
it's
buffalo.
Rice
but really, though,
and hills and crags. It's a lot.
Yep,
it's a lot. It's very beautiful. Very beautiful.
They're very innovative too, with how they like irrigate from like step to step and everything. It's pretty. It's cool.
So Winston Sack kind of keeps upping. He keeps upping himself. Keeps passing tests, and then he gets moved to Wei. And he takes his sons with him. Some sons stay in the Kim Lin. Some come with him. And like he got a job like in the Imperial City, and that's where Wen Sing Kung. And it's these names are gonna this is gonna be a lot. That's when Wen Sing Kung. He goes to like a private school. I think it's called the Wei School. And he's learning. Gets to learn French. He's learning about like all these different all the different like kind of French virtues. Was it égalité, liberté, égalité, fraternité? Right. That's the French. The fucking. Are you not familiar
with
your French?
I don't know, man. I was just thinking about cheese.
What?
I was just thinking about like knowing the different types of cheeses, and like wine tastings out in the countryside, and owning a vineyards, and knowing what cheeses pair well with the wines. Those were French.
No, that's funny. Let me tell you a little bit what French rule was like. Okay. If you like, if niggas don't understand this, the French like are just hoes. They're just bitch ass niggas. No, yep. Because this is what they did. They just like would do petty shit. Like first, there's brutal places. You got to work in coal mines, rubber plantation. This is rubber plantation era.
Uh-huh.
The French made it illegal. The native rice wine illegal.
You can't outlaw alcohol.
They didn't outlaw it. You just had to buy.
Oh,
French
you
wine.
Had to buy their bullshit.
Yeah.
Oh. Because the people, the vineyard owners are struggling, right?
Yeah.
And so they need a market to dump all of this wine off
so
of.
Wine.
We've got this market that we can force to buy our shit. So let's do that, man.
Let's do that. Let's not fucking.
Let's not overthink it. All right.
All right. Winston Sack, Ho Chi Minh's father, gives him a new name at the age of 10. He becomes Win Tat Than, which is Win the Accomplished. Now,
all right.
His
at
name
age,
is gonna
at age 10.
His name is gonna keep changing. This is
at
one
age,
thing about
at
fucking
age 10,
Ho Chi Minh.
Right?
Yeah, man, he's done nothing.
What
he's done nothing. But he's but
he
you
might
gotta,
he might have learned to ride a bike. I don't know.
You gotta
That's,
fucking
I was,
keep.
I didn't learn how to ride a bike till I was 11. So I mean, if that was his standard, then
you gotta keep upping. You gotta keep upping. You gotta keep. It's called. It's
Be
called
better.
Positive motivation. That's why. Mm-hmm. That's why we're here, because we didn't get this. We didn't get that.
Not at all.
Not at all. So, in 1908, while he's in school, he gets caught up in this protest of like peasants who are like angry at like the kind of I think it was the. Like the kind of the French authority in Wei, and there's like a regular protest. Then it turns a little bit violent, and he's translating because he speaks a little French for these peasants, and he gets caught up in that. And then some people I think the French authorities shoot people. It ends up being this whole thing, and he gets kicked out of school for that. That's the kind of official like party line kind of.
That's got to be rough.
Yeah, that he got kicked out for that, and that's what made him. That's what forced him. That moment that we talk about, where it's like, oh, now you're forced into this life. So,
yeah. Okay.
It could.
All right.
Some people don't believe that. Yeah. Okay. Some people say it was that his father, Winston Sack, was way more into it. Was a little bit more into it, and they kind of forced him out of that life, like, and he got kicked out of school because of his father being into it.
His father being into like revolutionary activity,
into revolutionary activity, anti-French activity, because his father was kind of in the circle of like all like the little like the nationalists. Yeah, I like the story of him being 13
Wait,
years old.
So you mean to tell me that the French were prejudicial?
Yeah, the French are assholes. No, the
you
French
mean
are
to
not
tell
fun
me
people.
That the French were had biases.
Yeah, the French are bad people sometimes. Sometimes, other times they're good people.
It's not
when it comes
all
to
about
cheese
just
and these meats,
eating cheese and dominating foreign markets with our wines. I was gonna say shitty wines, but I can't say that they are shitty wines. They're actually Probably very good wines.
They're very good wines. I don't know if I don't think
I don't. I can't friends. Talk shit. I can't knock them there. You know. I
so,
mean,
let's, so let's go with the kicked out of school, fucking on the run, wanted by authorities because he was participating in this fucking
as a teenager. He's like
he's 13 if you go with 1895 him.
All right.
So that's, you know, maybe you do 13 because he's about the fucking revolution.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
He's in it.
Or
he's
18.
That's
which
less
is
cool.
A lot less cool.
It's less cool.
You know what I mean? It's a lot less cool.
Yeah.
So let's go. 13 years old, gets kicked out of fucking school.
Mm-hmm. Just learned how to ride a bike, you know?
He just learned how to ride a bike. He fucking gets kicked out of school and he flees. Mm-hmm. And his father gets basically, because of his revolution activity, gets kind of like, they can't prove that he was in the revolution or he's like into it. So they send him to like a far flung kind of like province where he becomes like, he's like kind of like the county judge. And then fucking, okay. He gets thrown out of that job because he issued canings to a fucking like rich person, and the rich person complained because he's with the poor. He kind of, yeah. Some of the Confucius teachings are like that. This kind of the guy that.
So canings are okay for poor people, but you can't cane the rich. And
yeah, basically,
it was like one rich guy who complained.
Yeah,
because he was being treated equally.
Yeah. Yeah, try to send a rich person, like a rich son, to jail. I bet you won't win your next judge election.
Mm-hmm.
I bet that won't happen.
I bet that, yeah. We're gonna pull that rug right out from underneath you, man. You're done.
In the guy also died when he got caned.
During the caning? Oh, the okay. Caning. All right. Never mind. I thought it was some bullshit. But,
no, I mean, well, yeah, I mean, look, so sometimes they get
from caning to murder. And I'm yeah. like, oh.
No, I mean,
okay,
look, sometimes people can't take the canings. And that's,
also,
canings sound a lot more brutal than whippings. Mm-hmm. Canings sound like a fucking lot.
Yeah. Like it's hard.
Ho Chi Minh, fucking, all right, well, Win Sik Sak, Ho Chi Minh's father, gets and then he starts getting into drinking. It's a whole thing.
It happens.
Ho Chi Minh at this time.
When you got all that dope French wine to drink on, you know, you got to do
something. Yeah, man. That's Ho Chi Minh, Win Tat Than at this time is
Win 13, the Accomplished.
Yeah, Win the Accomplished. Kind of goes to another school for a little bit and then he kind of fucking gets on a boat. He just goes to Saigon and then he fucking gets on a boat and fucking. And becomes a fucking, and just starts traveling the world. That's how, he just says he just gets on a boat. Like and the thing he wants to do is he wants to go to France in particularly because he wants to know the secret to like France. He wants to understand why they're ruling us.
Know your enemy.
Yeah. And he wants to know what's going, so he can now have like, so he can create revolution and he can understand how to do it. That's his party line on what he's trying to do.
Yeah,
and it makes sense because he's from that Jian village, from Kim Lian village in Jian, and he's always been about revolution. It's just in his blood at this point.
Okay. So
goes to France. He like on the way, like the boat stops and like it stops in like all these different places. He's seeing the world. He's also seeing how colonialism is affecting everybody. Brown, black. That's about it.
nobody of color is doing well.
Like. Yeah, no, he's just going around and seeing that, and he's starting to understand. Like, oh, okay, this is interesting. Then he gets to Marseille, which is the first port he docks in France, and he's like, and then he sees like, oh no, it's not all the French are bad. There are some good French and there are some bad French. Mm-hmm. And he's starting to analyze it. Like, wait, hold up. There's good French and there's bad French. And so this becomes this period of his life where he's just going around kind of shooting the shit, going everywhere, all over Africa, all over Asia. He goes to fucking South America. He's in Rio. He's in fucking Buenos Aires. This is where he comes to
all right. the United States. Ho Chi Minh at Carnival.
Yeah.
Ho Chi Minh at Carnival.
Ho Chi Minh
was
everywhere.
He there for
No,
that?
Everywhere. No, he probably, no, for sure. I don't doubt that he
participated in the parades. Like, you know,
yeah.
I don't know how to dance. I was going to try to dance.
Neither does he, dude. Neither
just,
does he.
Just hanging like, out, never, though. You know, got the fancy little drink, I think, out of a coconut.
For sure.
I don't know.
For sure. This is where you're going to see him go to New York and Boston. He lives in the States for a little bit. I think that's in 1912 and 1913. He goes to New York, and he like goes to meetings of like the United Universal Negro Improvement Association in African Communities League, which is like the organization funded started by Marcus Garvey. So he's like listening to Marcus Garvey speeches.
About, he must have spoke some English or at least been able to understand some of it.
Oh, but he's learning it all of it.
Okay,
all
right, all
right. He's learning it like by like when he starts, he just starts picking up languages.
That's pretty bitchy. Yeah, that's cool.
We're gonna get to a later part where like he just is speaking English and people like there's a whole thing later about how good his English is. So you know, he worked in the Omni Parker House Hotel between 1912 and 1913 in Boston, which is the same hotel that Malcolm X worked at in the 40s.
Okay.
So little weird connections.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's like, I just think it's funny that he was at like listening to Marcus Garvey speak, like who's like the super kind of pro-black kind of almost, I would say black separatist a little bit if I'm remembering more like what Marcus Garvey talked about a lot.
Okay.
But like, it's just interesting that he was there and he's like running around New York with like Chinese Americans and like Asian Americans. And he's like understanding. He's also at that time, he thinks that like America is pretty good the way it treats Chinese people or Asian people. I think he said like there were a lot of people were Chinese. That's why I keep referencing that. Or I'm racist. Either one.
Okay. Like, it happens.
You know what I mean? So he does that. Then he goes to the UK, goes to London for a little bit, lives in North London. He's just traveling, man. Just kind of hopping liners, getting some work. Mm-hmm. And fucking going to London, and he works as a baker and pastry chef under August Escoffier at the Carlton Hotel in Haymarket, Westminster. Now, there's not any evidence to support that, but he fucking said he did. It's like a whole thing. Okay. And that could also be him like upping his communist bona fides. Yeah. But I don't really understand how you're doing that.
Wait,
there
was a communist pastry chef?
I don't know. That's just a French, like highly Escoffier? Known French pastry chef.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That'd be a pretty cool recruitment mechanism, you know?
I think he's just saying he was fucking everywhere. Like, that's all right. He's just saying I'm fucking everywhere.
Mm.
So he goes to France either sometime right as the war, maybe 1917, but the first evidence of him being there is like 1919.
Okay.
And he ends up in France, ends up in particularly in Paris. And he joins a group called the Groupe des Patriots Annamites, the group of Vietnamese patriots, which includes people like Phan Chu Trinh, Phan Vong Trinh, and Nguyen Thi Truyen, and Nguyen An Ninh. And the group was petitioning for like civil rights of Vietnamese people in French Indochina to the Western powers at like the Versailles peace talks. Mm-hmm. They did that, but they were like ignored. It's also at this time, we have to talk about like what France looks like at this time. Why there are a bunch of Vietnamese people in France is not only because they're a colony, but France was recruiting people to come to France to work in their factories because they're so short-manned, man, because of the fucking World War One.
In the wake of World War One,
this is the very end of World War One, and it kind of like gleams over. Then they're just there. You know what I mean? So and France.
Listen, everybody. France understands that you're tired of working. Yeah. On a rubber plantation, right? How would you like to work at a steel factory?
There we go. What do you know about Lyon?
We need hands, man.
I think this was like 30,000 to 50,000, something like it was a good number of Vietnamese people who have been recruited to work in these factories.
Okay.
France at this time. People say, oh, France is soft. Oh, they're a bunch of bitches. No, these niggas just never recovered from what happened in World War One. They just did not. If you doubt a French sincerity and hardness, I don't.
I encourage you to watch Les Mis, all right?
Okay, no.
That shit is popping. Let's not lie.
Verdun, in terms of a World War One battle, any battle, I think is the scariest place to ever exist. As a human being, is the most
brutal.
Like 1917, particularly the French are having like open rebellions of their armed troops where they don't even want to fucking. They're like, we're not going. Like people are saying, we're not going. We're not going over the we're not going over the fronts no more. We're not going over the trench. We're not doing that.
Man,
fucking, there's strikes in their fucking factories. Yeah. It's a fucking mess. So, what comes out of that is kind of the social, the kind of socialism, social activism.
Yep. Well, they had a pretty long history, or at least I think like one of the first communist revolutions was in France in like the late 1840s. So it makes sense that their people are like, yeah, fuck this. We're not doing this.
Yeah, they this is just a particularly bad time for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the heart of like the communism, a lot of the Karl Marx stuff, it may have started in Germany, but a lot of it happened.
Yeah.
In Paris.
Spread. Yeah. Popped over.
Going back to like the kind of the group of Annamite patriots, the group of Vietnamese patriots, they were kind of pursuing stuff at Versailles, and they were trying to, because this is the time like when Woodrow Wilson was like kind of saying, hey man, everybody should have the right to self determination and shit, even though like he's a incredible racist at home, which is like it's insane, but. They're going to get ignored, but Ho Chi Minh becomes the face of the organization. And here's why. They're publishing a lot of stuff under this name, When I Cook. And Henry wants me to say it as When I What?
Cook.
Cook. That, I feel like, gets me way too close to a slur that I'm not going to play that game Quark. With. I'm not going to play that game with.
You got to hit the Q.
I'm not like, good enough like, to hit the Q. Like I don't want to hit anything. Quark. I don't want to hit anything.
You know?
So, When I Cook, that's his name for me.
All right. Okay. Fair enough.
So, When I Cook is the name they're publishing all this stuff under.
Mm.
But you know, Ho Chi Minh or Nguyen Thach Tran at this point becomes, he's the person delivering it. So he becomes the like handing all the stuff out.
Oh,
so he's
shit.
He becomes the symbolic face of it. So people start to know him as When I Cook.
Okay.
And When I Cook in Vietnamese means when the Patriot.
All right.
The Nguyen Dynasty being the last great ruler.
So he might not have written any of them. He's just the one handing them over to the publisher like, hey, some other people wrote these.
He's not random to the publisher. He's handing them out.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, he's like
barking for Vietnamese civil rights.
Yeah, and he's handing them out and he's okay. going up to Versailles and like giving them. Like he's the fucking, right. You know what I mean? He became the public face of it.
Man, they should have a drink special. They might have.
Yeah, no, it's fucked.
Might have gone like, further. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it got recognition, and that's it, the recognition it got. Well, a lot of it was from the Sûreté, which is the French security force.
Like, okay, we'll take one of these. You know, there's some good stuff in here. Yeah.
All right. You When I Cook. Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, yeah. All right. Good to meet you, man. Yeah.
So, at this point, they're like just asking for that self determination, and When I Cook now. Ho Chi Minh, our hero becomes okay. I don't want to. My granddad did fight in Vietnam, so the guy.
Yep.
He's just living in Paris. He becomes like he kind of starts getting more into communism, and like kind of getting involved with the French Communist Party.
Yeah.
And I think he becomes a representative of the Congress des Tours of the Socialist Party of France. And he like voted in the Third International, and was a founding member of the French Communist Party. Sorry,
Okay, so I guess it's the French Communist Party, which is kind of like a fringe group, which because, is why I mean, you would be okay with like a foreigner helping to co-found.
He's not
your
really
party
a foreigner. He wasn't like a vocal member. You know what I mean?
Oh.
Right, you know what I mean? Like, right, yeah. Like he wasn't the most vocal nigga of all time. He was more about like the colonial question.
Yeah.
So he was always kind of leaning to shit. Like, he would be in there, be like, no, we need to talk about colonialism.
But what about colonialism? Yeah, well, guys?
What about your colonies? Like, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, you're talking all this shit about, like the workers need
liberation
more,
of the underclasses. Yeah. And it's like, what about the underclasses that you're enslaving elsewhere?
Let's what about talk the underclasses about those, huh? So under that they're not even here?
You don't even see them, man. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know what I mean?
He was the fringe of the fringe.
Constantly trying to draw attention to that question. That's, also, yeah. he founds the first international societies of like French colonies and colonial questions.
Cool.
And like it all breaks up because of petty political stuff,
bullshit,
petty bantering and shit. Always does.
Yep.
So he fucking he's doing that. He's fucking, he has his own paper that's pretty shit, but he's handing it out to like Vietnamese kind of people on the street, to Vietnamese kind of workers, and he's trying to build awareness about Vietnam as a colonial space and as a colonial state and what that is like. And he's getting some attention, but a lot of that attention is coming from the Sûreté, the French Security Force.
Okay.
They're on his ass at all times. They pull him in for questioning. He's questioned by like some of like the head colonial people like in the French government, just like asking, because all that work that the other people may have done,
uh-huh,
is now being attributed to him.
Okay.
Because he's
right
the public
on.
Face of
yeah.
it, but he's
yeah.
also still doing a lot of work, you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah,
so
that's pretty cool. I mean, it's cool to know that they're like scared of him.
They question it. They're like, yeah. And he, again, this is going to be around, this is like 1920-ish. Uh-huh. He hasn't been home in like 9 years.
I mean,
9 years, nine something years,
shit,
19
is,
years.
I mean, how many siblings did he had? Like,
you think three or four. I'm pretty sure.
Oh,
three.
Okay.
I thought it was more.
His dad's just drinking and not really.
His dad drinking. His dad dies sometime. I think it's 19. His dad dies, but I think his dad's dead by now. From my understanding.
Shit.
I might be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure he is.
So, I feel like an asshole. So.
Yeah, no, what a dick.
Cool.
What a dick you are. So something happens, right? Right around 1920, that's very impactful on his life. It's gonna be that Lenin like drafts the thesis on the national and colonial questions.
Yep.
And this is a big deal to him because it kind of lays out a kind of two-step ideology on how we're gonna get rid of how we're going to come to a communist revolution in the colonial era, area.
Two steps. That's all.
Two steps.
That's all it takes.
It's one two punch.
You know, one two punch. Boom boom.
It basically is saying like, hey, you're allowed to work with the bourgeois.
Mm.
All those people who are seeking
yeah.
nationalism,
okay.
And then once you do that, you can then ferment the communist revolution, because then the problems will be more strengthened in the way that people look at them. They'd be like, well, okay, it was colonialism, but then also like, it's now they're still gone, but there's still a boss over me who's a dick.
There's a class mentality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
all right.
So you can
no longer lumping.
That class,
right?
Yeah.
There we go. Okay.
No longer lumping, because now you see, oh no, this motherfucker is
just as bad as the people, the foreigners who were exploiting me. This guy's doing the same thing.
Maybe a little less.
Maybe
a little less bad.
A little less bad
because they didn't even speak the language and they were dicks. But like, you know what I mean? But still bad.
Yeah. Still awful. I still beat overthrow this guy.
Or worse. Like it. Yeah. Then we can have that conversation once we've. And it's all right to like kind of pair with like petty bourgeois people, like kind of scholarly people,
yeah.
scholarly gentry people, which is the class that When I Cook come from, was the scholarly gentry, because his dad was a Confucian
yeah.
scholar.
Yeah.
So at this time, right, it like his article and speeches caught the attention of the Sûreté, but they also caught the attention of Dmitry Manuinsky, who would soon sponsor his trip to the Soviet Union, and under whose tutelage, later times known as Ho Chi Minh,
uh-huh.
Win Sen Kung. This is how many names he's had by now. Win Sen Kung.
Is he still Guok?
Who then turned into Win Tat Tran, who then
uh-huh.
is now Win I Cook.
Uh-huh.
Now he's going to go to Russia.
Okay.
In 1923, and he's gonna work under Dmitry Manuitsky, who is like an important Bolshevik revolutionary, who was the secretary of the Comintern, the Communist International. Communist International being the international organization based out of the USSR
exporting the revolution,
advocated world communism. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Cool. So he goes to Russia under carrying a passport under the name Chen Vang, a rich Chinese merchant. So this is not the end of these names.
No, he just keeps going with them. He just keeps pulling out of his hat.
You think it's bad now? Wait till he gets fucking Russian spy training.
Like, does he get a Russian name at some point? That would be really cool.
Leninsky. It's like Leninsky or some shit Leninsky. Like that. Leninsky. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what they call him in Russia.
Leninsky. Okay.
I think it's Len.
He must have spoken some Russian. God damn.
He did speak Russian.
Vietnamese, French, English,
Cantonese,
Russian.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a worldwide man of international mystery. I barely speak Spanish.
You know what I mean? Leninsky. And this guy's like five languages at 25. That's insane.
I remember them calling him Leninsky. I want to say Leninsky. I'm just trying to think if they actually called him Leninsky. Yeah, I remember that from the book.
Was Lenin cool with that? Or was Lenin like, oh, I'm dying, I don't really care. Like,
I don't know when Lenin died.
He died in 24.
Yeah, so it's right around this time.
So he must.
They might have. Wait, let me just be correct on that. I know they called him Len, but I don't think it would be that hard for them to jump to Leninsky.
Yeah,
but all
right.
Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. So he liked to focus on you know, he was there basically to promote. The colonial question. That's his whole bag. His whole thing is promoting the colonial question and asking the colonial question. But here's the thing. Vietnam has a weird makeup where it's like 10% of the people live in the city. 90% of the people lived in a rural space. And the weird thing about communism at this time is they're super focused on the urban proletariat. And this is something that we talked about with Mao, where like the urban proletariat are the people. Because they're the people. Because for some reason, people think of the rural as being lumpen. Well, this kind of book kind of cleared it up. William J. Duker, I don't know how you spell that name. Duker, Ho Chi Minh, A Life. A lot of the people in early communism thought that the rural people, the rural peasants, were lumpen, is because they still were attached to the idea of private ownership of the land, like small private ownership.
Mm.
And whereas in the city, you don't have that idea.
Yeah.
You live off rent.
All you have to do is give them a 6x4 private lot on this, on this feudal farm so they can grow.
And you make it theirs.
Onions? I don't know.
Yeah. No, you make it theirs, and that's...
And they're happy with it, because at least you've given them something, and that's enough to pacify.
That's an ideal. And yeah, that's an ideal that you see in, I think his name is Levitt, Charles Levitt. I know his name is Levitt, the guy who invented Levittown, which is the first suburb in the United States. And his idea was that if you give people a small piece of land to own, then they will not become communist.
Like, no, it's like, well, why would I rise up against the man who gave me this 4x6 plot of land? Because you could have a much larger plot of land if you just recognize where your true self-interest was. You could have it much better than what you do. Like,
because people now identify with the landowner because they think of
themselves as the landowner because they own a... yeah, they own a negligible small piece of land. Yeah, okay.
Even though the critique might be about a large, you know, but that's a whole different thing.
It's goddamn diabolical, man.
Yeah. No, people are thinking. People are thinking. A lot of people aren't, but there's a lot of people who actually are.
Okay.
he attended the Fifth Comintern Congress of the Communist International, where he advocated for talking about the colonial question.
Okay.
And then after that, in November of 1924, he went to Canton under the, using the name Lightoy. Just another name. Yeah, working working as a journalist for, I think, a kind of a socialist or Bolshevist newspaper.
Nope. And those are spies. Journalists are spies. Very common. Covers. Yeah. I'm a journalist. I'm just writing down what you see over here and report back to your home base. All right. Okay. Cool.
So he goes there and he stays with our boy, and he's in Canton in 1924. So he stays with our boy Mikhail Borodin.
Cool.
From Mao era stuff.
Wampoa.
And this is going to be
Hitler stash before Hitler, right?
Yeah, he is involved in the whole Kuomintang left organization. Mm. He's around all that shit where he's meeting Chou Enlai. He's giving socialist lectures to Vietnamese people, Vietnamese revolutionary young people.
So he's against colonialism in all its forms. He's almost more of a Maoist than Mao.
No, Mao wrote the book on being a Maoist, so you can
Did
shut
he?
The fuck up.
I don't know, man.
No. His whole thing. I think on the second episode we're gonna kind of touch more on that because I left a little bit of room for but it's a whole thing. I've grew some critiques.
All right.
So, and this is all taking place at the Wanpo Military Academy or around the Wanpo Military Academy and around Kuomintang. Trained revolutionaries, and he was big on the Hearts and Minds doctrine before it was called that.
What the fuck is that?
Where you're like, we gotta go in there, you gotta pacify the hearts and minds. Oh. You have to win people over. So he was always telling any type of guerrilla units or any type of revolutionaries, look, you have to treat the people really nicely. You have to be the people's friend. You have to do whatever for the people. You have to live for the people. You can't go in there and fucking be savages and kicking ass, because that doesn't work. That makes everybody hate you. Yeah. And also, I think he was informed by...
You need the public on your side.
He's also informed by the Confucius teachings, kind of taking care of the poor and all that type of stuff.
When you first said it, I don't know what I was thinking when you said hearts and minds doctrine, and I thought it would be dumber than it was.
No, it's just that.
it just makes sense.
Kind of glancing over Confucianism, and this is something that in Mao, I wish I kind of gotten down. A lot of the Confucius principles and teachings are basically communism. The way it sets up society under the Confucius template for society is a very communist society. It's more about it's kind of a technocracy in that. Mm. Mencius, Confucius's follower. The person after Confucius said when talking up to a king, talking about his wants and needs with a king, the king's wants and needs, he talked about first comes the wants and needs of the people, then come the wants and needs of the state or the apparatus, and then third comes the wants and needs of the king. Kind of saying putting the people first is kind of always this ideal. So Confucianism, that's why I think a lot of the Far East Asia or East Asia fell very rapidly to
communism.
To communism, because the mold was already there.
They had almost believed it the whole time.
Yeah.
They just knew it under a different name.
Yeah. Yeah. So moving on, Ho Chi Minh at this time going secretly under the name Lai Thuy. marries Tang Tu Yuet Minh. It's kind of like a weird marriage. He just kind of wanted somebody. I think there's a kid. It's not sure. From what in the book, it wasn't they're kind of in love. You know what I mean? But he was just older and she was younger.
They met
this
in China, or is he back in Vietnam?
This is still in Canton. It's still in China around Guangzhou.
And she's also Vietnamese, but also in China. I guess it's not that.
I think she was Chinese. What happens in 1927 is Chiang Kai-shek kind of does his anti-communist coup. And that changes is the catalyst for a lot of change in terms of the way the Comintern talks about working with bourgeois people. Because they were working with bourgeois people. Sun Yat-sen dies from a heart attack or some shit.
Sun Yat-sen was a pragmatist, from what I understand.
He's a pragmatist.
He's just trying to make it work.
He fucking dies. Now you're working with that bourgeois elite, mm-hmm. and then they fucking decide to massacre communists in the fucking streets.
The bourgeois elite tells you, "Oh yeah, it'd be really cool if you killed all of the other communists out there."
So the commentary line on this becomes like a lot different, where they're like, "Yeah, you know, don't work with everybody," and it becomes more conciliatory. Yep. You know what I mean? So this time he like leaves Canton. He goes to Moscow. Then he like spends some of the summer recuperating from tuberculosis in the Crimea. Then he goes to Paris, and then it basically comes all the way back around it ends up in Bangkok, Thailand, in like July 1928. And he's basically organizing, basically on the border of like in Thailand or in Siam at that point. That's what it's called. Organizing Vietnamese people in Vietnamese populations up there, like right outside of Vietnam. There's some things about him having some affiliation and setting up and being one of the founding members of like the Siamese Communist Party, working a lot with like the Malaysian Communist Party, because he is not only at this point Lai Thuy, the fucking journalist, he's a communist agent. He's not only
he's got the creds. Like he's been to Russia.
Yeah,
he's met some of the top guys over there.
Vietnamese
put in his dues. True.
Vietnamese revolutionary. 50% at this point, I think 30%, 40%.
Okay.
60% Comintern agent. In his heart, he's all Vietnamese revolutionary.
But he
still has the job. They give him money. He's writing to like the Comintern in Shanghai, or when they moved to Vladivostok in Russia. He's writing letters to them like, "Yo, I haven't received my salary.
What are you guys doing?"
And
Russia doesn't have the heart to tell him that in the late 20s it's like, "Dude, we're broke. Like, we wish we could pay you, all right? You're doing great work, but we have no money."
So this whole time he's kind of organizing like Vietnamese revolutionaries from outside of Vietnam, kind of working tacitly with the party. He goes back to Hong Kong in 1930, where he chaired like kind of a meeting between two communist parties. They kind of split. Two Vietnamese communist parties that split, and he merged them together as a unified organization known as the Communist Party of Vietnam. They had to change their name, and this is kind of how like the Comintern has like a control of everything at this time, is where they had to change it to the Indonesian or the Indochina Communist Party, because they're like, "Well, we're trying to ferment like it's not just about Vietnam, it's about Laos, Tibet, Cambodia." So he gets arrested in Hong Kong, and this is the LeFranc story about how the fucking communists were sending like this guy around who was like carrying messages named LeFranc, and he was working for like a Pan Pacific Trade Union or some shit like that. And it's this white dude's going around. He meets Ho Chi Minh. He meets fucking some other people. He meets Tran Phu, which is the leader of the Vietnamese Communist Party at this time, and he's meeting all these people, and he goes fucking and gets arrested. He gets arrested in fucking in Singapore, and fucking has all the letters that he was writing to all these people. He hadn't destroyed any of them, so he has letters from fucking Ho Chi Minh, and gets Ho Chi Minh arrested in Hong Kong. Ho Chi Minh ends up in jail.
This guy just really shit the bed.
I was thinking of LeFranc as like just to do with the mustard stains. It's just like, "I'm just fucking going around killing fucking like a jackass." Gets Ho Chi Minh arrested. Ho Chi Minh ends up in prison. He's in prison kind of like in Hong Kong. There's like this whole thing where like the French know now that this is When I Cook. People can trace it. So the Sûreté is like trying to get him out of prison and get him exported back to Vietnam, where there was a trial that already said that they were going to execute him. They had a trial in absentia where he wasn't there.
That's the best kind, you know?
Yeah, where you can't defend yourself.
We can't defend yourself at all. You're just like, "Yeah, fuck it."
So kind of the French tried to pressure for extradition. He was actually reported as dead in 1932. And then the British like quietly released him in 1933. He moved to the Soviet Union.
If that doesn't go to show you how deep the beef runs between Great Britain and France, which is, want this guy extradited? Oh, yeah, he's dead. Don't worry.
Their whole thing was like,
you can go.
They did have like, because all these countries at this time, they have like leftist people within them. They have their own socialist people within them who are just like, you can't give this guy the French because they'll just execute him.
Uh-huh.
So he goes to Moscow, and this is he gets there in 1933, right? He stays there for like four or five years, and he's teaching at the Lenin Institute. He's studying at the Lenin Institute. He's like, there's this thing called the Stalin School, where they're training Eastern European, Eastern Asian revolutionaries. I think they're training other revolutionaries there. But there are a lot of people coming through there, and he's teaching there. And they're all leaving, but he's not. Well, it's because the Russians, the Soviets, they don't trust him because they don't know what happened in that jail to get you released so quickly. Also, this is 1930, so 1934. This is when the Great Purge is happening. Uh-huh. Oh, and Mikhail Borodin, our homeboy, where Ho Chi Minh has stayed in his fucking in his house in Canton in 1924. Mikhail Borodin's clapped. He's done. They killed him during this.
They kill him?
I think they
during the purge. God damn it, man! He was. I'm pretty sure he was killed. Okay.
So all these people getting killed. The purge is happening, and the purge is happening because Kirov, which is Stalin's rival,
Stalin thought everybody was a rival. Let's be real.
He gets clapped. Kirov gets clapped. Yeah, no. Stalin thinks everybody's a fucking rival.
Yep.
There's a whole thing with Mao and Stalin.
Stalin will not feel safe until every other human being is dead. Okay.
Exactly. So. The whole Kirov situation, they don't trust Ho Chi Minh. So he's just sitting there. He's rotting away, and he's just like, dude, I need to get back.
Don't they still owe him money? Vietnam. Do they ever settle his debt?
You're going to ask during the Great Purge, can I get my cash? Can I get my back pay? You're just going to let that ride. You know what I mean?
Very true. Yeah, you kind of just let it drop. You kind of drop it.
And there's kind of competing reports. Was he what happened? Was anything severe happen to him? Was he put on trial? And people say yes, some people say no. It's a whole thing.
Okay.
So in 1938, he finally gets allowed to leave, and he returns to China. But they send him to China to as an observer of CCP functions.
You mean to tell me they don't trust Mao?
They don't. No. They don't. Why would you, Jesus Christ? so he gets to. He gets sent to southern China, and he works as like an officer in like a unit in southern China, and like just observing things and learning things. He already kind of learned from the CCP earlier, and this is where he's like a sanitation officer or like a cleanliness officer or some shit. And he's just like, and like, the funny story about this time is they're just chatting. A couple of officers are like chatting, and like one of them he's chatting with this officer named Ho Kwong, which is what Ho Chi Minh is going by now. This is like his seventh name. I just want to put that out there.
Ho Kwong.
So he's like, what's up? Like he kind of critiques Ho Kwong, and everybody's laughing. It's fun. It's all right. Nothing happens. The next day, a higher up official comes from the CCP, and it's like, I heard you were critiquing Ho Kwong. What's the issue? And then that person was like, oh no, Ho Kwong has some connections, or there's something crazy going on with Ho Kwong.
Yeah. I mean, you never want to criticize a dude who works sanitation. It's
cleanliness. It's some shit like
pretty
that.
Pretty good pretext. That you gotta generally wash means your feet. I kill people for money. You know,
you gotta that's wash kinda where your that, feet.
Yeah, it's usually where that's headed.
I know it's sanitation or it's like it's something with cleanliness. It's like a fucking which is still a weird thing to be. So Ho Chi Minh finally returns to Vietnam. In 1941, I'm pretty sure 41, I think on that date, and he starts to lead. He starts to lead the Viet Minh independence movement.
Damn! So this is like a long track home. Yeah. Basic. Okay.
He stays in China for a bit.
Yeah.
I think it's 1940 that he returns. I'm not sure about this one. So he's like 1938, and then like they're building up, and he's like basically monitoring it from China.
Okay.
And he finally comes. He's monitoring it from China. He finally goes into Vietnam, and they're like right on the border of Vietnam and China. And this is where they're building a revolutionary base a little bit that way. He's like teaching out of a cave. It's like this. Cool. These are the moments like that people talk about,
like the Sith masters. Very very.
This
cool.
is like some Vietnamese Communist Party like mythos shit, like the 1940 days when they're just kind of prepping for a revolution. They're prepping.
Okay.
They're prepping.
Cool.
They're laying out the steps for a revolution. Uh-huh. So during this time, they're fighting the Japanese occupation, and they're resisting Vichy France because France got taken over by the Nazis. So this is like a Vichy French occupation.
So it's like three front, like they're fighting the France and Japanese.
Yeah, those two. Yeah, I think the French and the Japanese
are
kind of allied.
I guess they'd be the third party.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All
right. Yeah. They're kind of allied because it's Vichy France. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. I get it. Yeah.
So this is where they start, like around 19. Let me first state this. He gets jailed by China, like because he's traveling under fake papers. And this is
who'd have thought the guy with seven names would become suspect to these guys? Okay.
He finally gets jailed, and this is where this is when he was going by the name Ho Chi Minh, and this was also I think he was going as a reporter during this time also. Ho Chi Minh, which means he who enlightens, in China, I think in Chinese. So
okay, cool.
So
somebody's got quite a high opinion of themselves, but also
I don't know if he gets this name. Because I've read conflicting reports that either the general that gives him this name, the Chinese general that gives him this name, or he gives his name to himself. Either way, he's arrested with that name. That's kind of the name that people get to know him by. This is when he becomes Ho Chi Minh.
Okay.
Fucking Ho Chi Minh does that. So Ho Chi Minh gets arrested, is released by like a kind of a friendly kind of communist nationalist general. Then in 1944, on November 11, 1944, Lieutenant Randolph Shaw is like an American pilot is facing like engine trouble on a reconnaissance flight over northern Vietnam.
Uh-huh.
And he like goes down, parachutes out, and then he gets saved. He's like kind of like some Vietnamese, like the Viet Minh find him, and then they bring him, and he just trying to speak English to everybody. And then there's this guy who shows up. He looks kind of older. And the guy speaks perfect English. Like, he's like, the guy, the guy was like, I thought I was talking to my fucking father.
Whoa.
And that guy is Ho Chi Minh.
Whoa.
That's it. Like, he speaks perfect English.
Man. Okay.
So, like, so they save that pilot.
Hey, I got a few sausages out on the barbecue. If you feel
I was talking to my fucking dad.
Huh?
I found my
dad.
Did
you see the game?
Fucking,
game was pretty good last night. What
like
do you
that
think
good.
About that, Sonny? Like,
that
yeah.
good.
Jesus.
So they bring them to kind of the U.S. Air Force base. In U.S. Army Air Force base at the time, and fucking in China, and they're kind of negotiating with the like OSS to like, hey,
all right,
any down flyers, we'll bring them here. Can you guys give us like some radios and stuff, and we'll kind of report because we want to work with you because Americans are partial to like independence movements.
Yep.
At this time, they're not fucking. Yep. They're not with colonial shit. Mm-mm. Even though they do colonial shit, they're just not with it as
an
idea.
So they claim, like, oh, you want to launch an independent guerrilla warfare movement like we did so long ago?
Yeah. So they're like, so there's kind of understanding. Like people in the OSS are like, oh, okay, yeah. So they're kind of having an inter trade and like inter like kind of a mutual relationship, which is going to continue for a little bit when we get to part two.
For those who don't know, OSS is the CIA before it was called the CIA, which is why this is so weird.
Yeah, so the CIA, basically, the agent is Archimedes Patti, who's like, and that's the guy that Ho Chi Minh is specifically working with.
Okay.
So they're working with the CIA. The CIA is like weird about them providing weapons to them because he's like, because they're hearing that they're communist, but yeah. That's not a big deal yet.
Mm. Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And one thing, kind of, I want to go back and make this firmly known. That whole thing about not working with the bourgeois elites to ferment your communist revolution goes out the door when like the Nazis start rising up. Mm-hmm. So to defeat fascism, that the Comintern line becomes now, hey, you can work with the bourgeois, whoever. Yeah. You know what I mean?
There's a larger threat, and that is fascism.
Yeah.
As
long as you can kind of do your thing and they're not fucking actively attacking you, you can work with whoever. So this is kind of the state, like they're working with the CIA. It's 1945. And things are should like there are CIA teams dropping into North Vietnam, kind of, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's a whole thing. They have a relationship. So in on August 14th of 1945, kind of seizing the time, the Viet Minh, they launched the August Revolution. And within 2 weeks, forces from the Viet Minh seized control of most of the rural villages and cities throughout North, Center, and South Vietnam, including Hanoi. And then President Ho Chi Minh was announced, and he announced the formation of the Provisional Democratic Republic of Vietnam. The emperor, Bao Dai, abdicated his throne. Because the emperor used to rule like Annam, he used to rule like the middle portion, and then like, but it was all kind of under the French rule. And Ho Chi Minh convinced him to like abdicate his throne.
Is this like the last emperor of Vietnam?
Who's like, yeah, this would be the last.
Times have changed. Fuck it, I can't keep this up.
This would be the last. There's a whole thing where like there's the emperor and then like the French will kind of like, it's a whole thing.
Try to prop somebody else up.
Yeah, it's a lot. So Ho Chi Minh's repeatedly like asking, like petitioning Truman for like support, like to recognize the Vietnamese independence movement, citing the Atlantic Charter.
Good fucking luck.
Yeah, he's citing the Atlantic Charter, and Truman never responds. Mm-mm. And
just left that shit on red, you know? Like,
never responds. And so now they're a moderate government. A lot of stuff that they put in at this time, very fucking moderate. It's very moderate shit because they're playing the game of like, we don't really have a communist ally anywhere.
Yeah.
Even though they are communists, they're just playing this game. So kind of setting the stage for the next episode. This is where we're at. The CIA is kind of working with this Northern Vietnamese government. The Potsdam conference happens, which kind of declares how Indochina will be split. The British will come and take everything south of the 16th parallel. The nationalist Chinese government will come in and take everything north of the 16th parallel. Northern Chinese government comes the fucking all the anti-communist nationalist Vietnamese organizations are going to come in from China because they've just been waiting in China.
I mean, something tells me is that Ho Chi Minh's government was not consulted on terms of Potsdam.
And then all throughout the country, they're in Hanoi and particularly in all throughout the country, there are French citizens. So France is still like in healthy French European populations in Hanoi, in Saigon. So France still has an interest of like, we're going to come in and one, we need our citizens, but France also wants to recolonize the things that lost.
Yeah.
So all of that's happening.
Mm-hmm. So you got British.
Yeah.
You got Britain. You got France.
Yeah.
You have America. But yeah. Kind of in the backgrounds.
Yeah.
China.
Yeah.
And then Ho Chi Minh and his boys.
Ho Chi Minh and the Viet Minh.
Okay.
We're going to see how this one's going to play out. on the next episode.
I mean, sounds messy, to say
it's,
the least.
It's going
to
get messy. It's going to get very... I bet you... Look, it's going to get very messy. Guys, we want to thank you for listening. Want to run the social media by you guys. Please follow us and like us and subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find us. You can also find us on Instagram at Joshua B. Shit. You can also find us on Instagram at Hard Fight History. You can find us on Facebook at Hard Fight History. You can find us on Twitter at HFH Podcast. Mm-hmm. Henry, what's your social media?
You can find me, Henry E. Price, on Instagram, just Henry Price on Facebook, where you get to hear more of my incessant bullshit. Huh? What do you think?
You can hear me. You can find me at Joshua B. Stokes on Instagram and Twitter. Also Joshua Stokes on Facebook. Thank you guys for listening. Also find us on YouTube. Yeah. Thank you guys for listening.
I just gotta mention this. Every time we try to boost a goddamn advertisement,
it's the whole thing
on Instagram.
I don't understand.
They
why you're
fucking
doing this right now.
Reject it. They flag this shit. They say that we cannot promote this because it violates guidelines.
Okay,
for some reason
we're running long here, Henry. We
don't
have time for this argument.
Like,
okay,
that's crazy.
Okay, guys,
like, what are they doing?
We'll talk to you next time. We love you. All right.